Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord, for the services this morning and this afternoon at the present length. Thank you, Lord, for just having the place look so nice, Lord, and be in such good shape. And thank you for all of the labours and works and blessings that went into making it happen. Please bless our time in your presence, Lord. Please, Lord, I pray you attend to our sister churches right the way across the world. All those that are preaching the gospel, and all those that are hearing and practicing the gospel, Lord, I pray you bless them upon. For those that have heard, for those that have received gospel tracts or Bibles, for those that have been contended with, Lord, I pray that you constrain them, that you would remind them of sin and doubt to come. Father, most importantly, for your will to be done. Bless our time here. Lead and guide us through the service, Lord, and speak to us in your own servant's speech. We love you and thank you. Amen. Amen. Big hymn books, if you have them handy. If you'd like to take and turn to, let me see, 363. Wonderful Words of Life. This should be a pretty familiar song or hymn. Amen.
Singing that last one, and it wasn't coming. It's there now. It's there now.
I'll start. Everybody, just join in when you get the tune.
It's a well of good water when I'm thirsty and dry. Bread when I'm hungry and born. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword. Shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When the world gets so dark we can't see, and have not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, it reminds me I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who go to the stake and quote it with their dying breath. Well, its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I find to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, there's something wrong with you. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin.
Amen. Good job. Are you, did you? Okay, come on ahead. I'll try and sum up your introduction. Thank you, Mark.
Turning tonight to the Gospel, or the Word of God, to Malachi chapter 2. It's the last chapter from the Old Testament. And now, O ye priests, this command is for you, if ye will not hear, and if ye will not lay it to heart, to give glory unto my name, saith the Lord of hosts, I will even send a curse upon you, and I will curse your blessings, yea, I have cursed them already, because ye do not lay it to heart. Lord, I will corrupt your seed, and spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your solemn feasts, and one shall take you away with it. And you shall know that I have sent this commandment unto you, that my covenant might be with Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace, and I gave them to him for the fear wherewith he feared me, and was afraid before my name. The law of truth was in his mouth, and iniquity was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and equity, and did turn away many away from iniquity. For the priesthood should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law in his mouth, for he is the messenger of the Lord of hosts. But ye are departed out of the way. Ye have caused many to stumble at the law. Ye have crippled the covenant of Levi, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore have I also made you contemptible and base before all the people, according as ye have not kept my ways, but have been partial in the law. Have we not all one Father? Hath not one God created us? Why do we deal treacherously every man against his brother by refraining the covenant of our fathers? Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem, for Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange God. Lord, will cut off the man that doeth this, the master and the scholar of the tabernacles of Jacob, and him that offereth an offering unto the Lord of hosts. And this have ye done again, covering the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping, and with crying out, insomuch that he regardeth not the offering any more, or receiveth with good will at your hand. Yet ye say, wherefore, because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of the youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously, yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant, and did not he make one? Yet had he the rescue of the spirit, and wherefore one, that he might seek a godly seed. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith that he hateth putting away, for one cover of violence of his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore take heed to your spirit, and deal not treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, when have we wearied him? When ye say, every one that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment?
Amen. Amen. Some good verses there, the last one. Why, where have you wearied the Lord when you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them? Amen. These are the days you live in. Thank you for that. Just a reminder to make sure that you get one of those. It is your duty. If you're turning up at this church, there's a few things that are your duty. One of them is to make sure that you're praying for everybody in the church. That's your duty. You warm a seat here more than once in your entire life, it is your duty to pray for everybody in the church. And all the things that people have in their hearts and mind, the private ones or private prayer requests, the rest are there. We need to pray for those folks. One that isn't on there is pray for Monica. She's in bad shape. She's not usually, but she is at the moment. She's, I don't know what's wrong with her, but she's not dying, but she is suffering with something. So please do pray for her. Another one is, I think you know Stan. He has a mystery infection that antibiotics aren't clearing up. So please do pray for him as well. That's up in Bangor and the family. So I think that's about that. Is there anything else we need to be thinking on or praying for? Okay. Let's have, do you want to pray for us? Oh, yeah, well, sing another song.
Dear Father, thank you for this day, Lord, and thank you for bringing us into your house today, Lord. And tonight, Lord, we have one and another, Lord. Bless each family and this coming to your house as represented, Lord. Your host, Lord, may our service be accepted through your prayer supplications. Our thoughts be more tuned in line with thee, Lord, and draw us closer, Lord, through your listen, Brown, Lord, your Monica, Lord, and she's sick, Lord, heal her illness, Lord, Lord, help her and bring her back to church as well, Lord, stand and Lord, help them, Lord. And God, closer work for you, heal them as well, Lord. With Steve and Pat, Lord, with Steve, Lord, and give him strength, Lord, and give him fortification, Lord, and heal him mighty powerfully, Lord, and stop his discomfort, Lord, and pain as well, Lord. Heal him mighty as well, Lord. And give him mind and strength, Lord, give him mind, keep her safe and well, Lord. That's going to be his life and the private life, and God, closer work for you, give him strength as well, Lord, to make sure, Lord, keep him safe and well as well. With all the people that are listening to the CD, Lord, bless them also, Lord. And Lord, may it be a blessing, the service being a blessing to them as well, through the CD as well, Lord. Give this thank, Lord. Give our world, Lord, all the wisdom to our world leaders, Lord. And Lord, stop the war in Ukraine, Lord. Save souls mighty and powerfully in that area of the world, Lord. And Lord, and we pray for the hasting days of the Lord, Lord, in which the Lord Jesus Christ will come in the clouds, Lord, and usher in the 1,000-year reign, Lord. And the year of the peace, Lord, which I only now can still live, Lord. Heavenly Father, give us this night, Lord, and Lord, answer our prayers, Lord, and keep us safe and well, Lord, and give us the best life for Jesus Christ,
amen. Amen. I hope you don't mind, folks, but I'm going to turn that off. Even as Will was praying there, it sounded like it was a, it might not seem very loud, it sounded like a jet engine to me working. That one's still going. If you want to be warm, you sit with Norman there, and if you're like a penguin, and you'll get the heat coming from the back of the church. Amen. Hymn number 343, 343 in the big number, Revive Us Again. Reminds me of a verse or two in Psalms where it says that the Lord's mercies are new every morning. Revive us again. 343. Amen. Let's stand as we sing.
Hallelujah, thy glory, hallelujah.
putting them in the back by the seats in front of you. Go back to, if you divide that number by 10 and round down, you get our next hymn. For those interested in mathematics, so 343 divided by 10 is 34, and round it down, it's 34.3. You round it down, you get 34. That's where we are. And I know that my Redeemer liveth. How's about that for a reference? That's like saying if you multiply it by 2 and add 73, you get exactly the hymn number you're looking for. That's not the way it's going. Good hymns, thank you for your choices. Let's make another joyful noise, and then I'll give your vocal cords a rest, but I'm going to work your ears with the message. But for right now, I'm going to sing, Know That My Redeemer Liveth. This is service. So normally on a Sunday afternoon there's a bit of Bible reading and there's a bit of prayer and there's a few requests go up to heaven about, Lord, what are we going to speak about today? So I thought, the Psalms sound good, but I didn't want to do the Psalms. I thought about Judges. I thought, we've done a lot about Judges, and Judges doesn't seem right. What about creation? Creation didn't really sit right with me at all. And the Gospels, we're not that We spent some time in the Gospels and Hebrews, and Hebrews we did this morning, and memory verses that I'm working on in James, we'll save that for another day, and the memory verses in 2 Timothy. And then I thought, why don't we just have a look at Psalm 23? There's a lot of people know it because they maybe were taught it in Sunday school or sang. Used to sing. Psalm 23 used to be a very, very popular hymn. I don't know so much now, but there's a lot more to it than you think. And I would like to just take, there's only six verses, I would just like to take a little bit of time this evening and do a blow-by-blow on what those verses mean to the believer. Amen. Let's read Psalm 23. Does anybody want to close their eyes and read it from memory? No, I don't either. I'd probably make a mess of it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Psalm 23, let's have a quick word of prayer, and then we'll have a run through this. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word that and it's more a measure of me than of your scriptures, that there's days whenever nothing seems to please us but those favourite old comforting words of not just the Psalms, but the songs and the hymns that go behind them. Lord, they do the trick. I pray that you would be one of our number this evening, that you would put your good hand upon each one of us and watch over us. And Lord, we just love you and thank you. Please be one of our number. Please work in the hearts of each of us as we spend this time in your presence. Please open our understanding and help us to grow beyond the people that we are today and to walk more closely with you. We love you and thank you. You know all of our prayer requests, Lord. You know the events that's going on in the world, not just the grand events, but personal events. And I pray for your good hand upon them all, Lord. Please save souls. Please edify us, your saints. Please, Lord, I pray, give people another chance before it's everlasting to you. We love you and thank you. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Psalms. A little bit of background on the Psalms. Some of them are incredibly prophetic. For Psalm 1 and 2, well worth committing to memory. And an excellent rule of thumb for anybody that's starting off in the faith. But people tend to have their favourite Psalms. And even people that are not great students of the Bible still love the Psalms because there's a lot of comfort. Many times when David wrote the Psalms, he was having very difficult times. He makes mention many times of his enemies and praying even for the Lord to give him the victory over them. And thanking him whenever he does. Thanking him for his many blessings. And even apologizing to God for his failings. But people find comfort in them. It's almost like the meat in the sandwich for many people in their Christian lives. Let's just take a look at this evening. And I hope and pray there'll be a wee bit in there for you. And maybe you'll think or even remember some of the deeper meanings behind these things. Because one of the problems with knowing a thing very well and being able to recite it from memory, and let's be honest, most of us should know a verse or two of Psalm 23 from memory, is that a lot of times we don't give it any thought when we recite it again. We stop thinking about it and we just repeat it. We don't want for it to become a vain repetition or just something that trips off our lips without the proper respect or gravitas. We want to We should want to know what the Word of God means for us. The very first verse, and one more caveat, and then we're into it. This is for Christians. A lost person can sing this song, but the greatest of vocal athletics, whatever it is that you want to call it, they can pronounce the words beautifully, they can hit the notes perfectly, and it still not mean a thing to them. They're basically shouting about God's promises to other people, and they are wonderful promises. This is for saved people. You're a saved soul. This is for you. If you're not a saved soul, this could be for you. If you will trust Christ as your Savior and as your Lord day by day. The very first verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd." And that is only true of saved souls. That is only true for people that have repented of their sins, that have called Christ, called out to Christ as their Savior. Please save me. And even then, we still have to every day call God our shepherd, make God our shepherd. Now, I know there's a wee bit of agriculture involved in the church. If William was here tonight, Will's cousin, he'd be able to tell you a bit about sheep, because he looks after sheep. But shepherds, especially old-time shepherds, they had a very different life to everybody else. They basically lived with their flock. Whenever the shepherd moved, the flock moved with them. Whenever a bear or a wolf or a lion or a predator came along, the shepherd stood between the predator and the flock. And not only that, but the shepherd also led them to water and tended to their injuries, because sheep are not the brightest of creatures. They tend to rely on their wool to save them, and they will lie down even in the snow, thinking that the wool will save them, and end up being suffocated in snow drifts. So we need a shepherd. We may think with our educations and our experience that we are wise beyond our years, but we maybe only compare ourselves to our neighbours. But when even the wisest of us is compared to God, it's like a smart aunt to us. We are still children. We are still sheep that do silly things. You know one of the things they say about sheep? A sheep will look for a hole in its enclosure or a hedge, and they will do everything to get through that hole, to get out, and then as soon as they're out, they realize, hey, I'm away from all the other sheep. And they'll spend all their time walking up and down that particular hedge or a piece of enclosure looking for that hole to get back in again. That is how crazy smart sheep aren't. They're a bit like chickens with four legs and wool instead of feathers. We do stupid things, even as Christians. We can get carried away in a moment. And as it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, with youthful lusts we can be carried away. And before you know it, we find ourselves in a sticky situation. We need a good shepherd, the good shepherd, and that is Jesus Christ. He doesn't just name himself as the shepherd and go and do what you want. He is our good shepherd, and he is there to lead us and to guide us. So whenever you sing, Christian, "The Lord is my shepherd," I pray that you mean it. And that whenever the song is done and the book's closed, that the Lord is still your shepherd. The last five words say, "I shall not want." And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you're not going to want for the things that are important. And the things that are important are not gadgets and the latest fashion and the bank account with lots of numbers in it. They're not power and glory. Those are not things that we need. The things that we need are a clear path between us and God. We need Jesus Christ as Savior, but we also need him day by day. And that is, of course, delivered through the Holy Spirit. And the Lord said to the devil of all people, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We're a tripart creature, and all three of those parts need fed, mentally, physically, and spiritually. All three of them need fed and tended to. And whenever you listen to what God says for you to do, you will not do without. You will look after yourself. The Bible says, Christian, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and him that defileth it, God will destroy. He will encourage you in proper habits. Proper eating, proper dressing, proper resting, proper worshipping, proper Christianity, salvation, study, memorizing, preaching, applying. If you get those things right, the greatest thrill in your life will not be going round the Big Dipper at Barry's. You know that buzz you get when you go over the top and then it feels like you drop and your stomach's rising up through your throat. It'll be, in fact, you know what? I was looking on Facebook and I saw a picture of what I have often thought life is. And it's just a pencil drawing of a man walking down the street. And there's various devils, demons, and they're all getting hidden by God's angels as they try to trip him up, as they try to push him out into traffic, as they try to tempt him away off the straight and narrow, and every one of them's getting duffed by an angel. And we don't realize those battles are going on, and we can have a part on the winning side when we listen to God. So remember that. It is the Lord that is your shepherd. I think it's John chapter 9 or John chapter 10 where the Lord describes himself as a good shepherd. It's worth thinking on. And here's what he does for us. Just like any shepherd, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He will provide spiritual food for you. I don't know if you've noticed of late, but just about every manufactured piece of media in the world has a spiritual agenda. It's designed to destroy families, marriages, minds, designed to pervert little children and make them ready for predation by perverts and other people that would pick on and prey upon little children. It's designed to destroy men's authority, especially white men. Have you ever heard of something so ridiculous? It is designed to make women men's equals, and they're not. I'm sorry to tell you, Charlotte, you are not the equal of any man. You are complementary. You are not equal to any man, but neither is any man equal to you. We are different, and we are complementary. God has the proper food for you, the proper drink for you, and he will keep you safe. You see where it says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. You ever heard the old saying that still waters run deep? Well, it's okay to drink out of still waters, but it's not okay to go swimming in still water. So even though we are beside things, we still sometimes need to be kept safe from them. And overindulging and even ordinary things can be bad for us. So that's neither here nor there. Listen to the Lord and he will lead you on the safe path. In verse number 3, the word of God says what? He restoreth my soul. Now, I don't know about you, but there are days that I am done out. I feel like a balloon with the air let out of it. That's normally a Monday and a little bit of Thursday morning. And the reason for that, quite simply, is the amount of work that it is to study and to preach and to listen to God and to do things his way and not to stand up here and rant and rave and give off bag loads about your failings and my failings and the failings of society and just give you a list of everybody that needs a good kicking. It's hard work controlling yourself. And it is work for the old man. If you ever read the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, much studying, or studying is much weariness to the soul, or something like that there. But there's a reason we're supposed to go to bed at night, and there's a reason we're supposed to eat, is so that we have rest and energy for the next day. We wake up, should wake up, restored. And if you're doing it right, If you find that your thoughts are dark at night, read a psalm or two. Memorize a psalm. The best thing in the world is sit down and memorize a verse of scripture. That is more than capable of blowing away every dark thought out of your head. And once you have it memorized and you close your eyes and the dark thoughts come in, just keep going over that verse. Remember what Jesus said, there's none good but God. One of the names of God is the Word of God. And if you have the Word of God holding your attention as you drift off to sleep, what better way is there to go to sleep? It's like pouring bleach in a dirty toilet. It will clean it right up and it will make it smell a bit better. God will restore your soul. We made a mention this morning of one of the statements of fact, that God's mercies are new every morning. In other words, there's enough juice in God to give you a new start every day if you let Him. He will freshen you up. He will help you see things in a fresh perspective. He will even take away the down feelings that we have, the angers. We get a good night's sleep. He'll restore your soul. And if you defer to Him, again, He will lead you in paths of righteousness. He'll show you the right thing to do. But you have to defer to Him. Your feelings, now I feel like going out and doing this, but the Bible says we shouldn't do that. We should do this instead. Whenever you listen to God, whenever you follow your shepherd as He leads you, not the way the people on TV say, and not the way the people on the internet or the radio say, or your neighbors say, but what God says, that is the right way to go. And it will help you, and it will bring glory to God. What's the main aim of the Christian? Does anybody know? Rhetorically speaking, the main aim of the Christian is to please God. And if pleasing God means that you go before Him in prayer, you might be saying, you know what, Mark? It's been a while since we had a good tete-a-tete. How's about you just come before me in prayer for a half an hour or an hour this afternoon and this evening, and we'll hash a few things out. Okay. I should go in prayer. Or if God says, yep, I know you're only looking at a painting video on YouTube, but you would be far better served reading the Bible. Okay, Lord, let's open that Bible and let's read. Or if He says, you know what, you should be getting up out of your bed and going to church, but Lord, I only got 4 hours sleep last night. Well, time in My presence will be like a rest to you, and it will help improve your habits. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. My eyes are dropping out of my head. I'm going to have to drink a coffee before I go with 2 sugars to keep me awake and full of energy, but I'm going to go because You've said that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I'm going to do that, God. Or if God says, go and give that guy a tract, but you say, I don't have any tracts. Oh, funny you should mention that. I have about 10,000 out there on the shelves, and I think there's a handful out there, and I have a bag full of them in the car. If you think there's a place that needs a gospel tract put through a letterbox or put in a shelf, take some. Even take one or two and read them yourself. Leave them on a chair in a waiting room. But it's the right thing to do. And we're bringing glory to God. And that's what's important. I don't know about you. I'm fairly smart. I know Norman's smarter in engines, in construction, but I think I beat him in computers. But I'm not sure I would beat Will in computers. So we're fairly smart in our own areas, but none of us is smarter than God. Not by a long shot. Not one of us can save a soul, but I know God can save a soul. And that, in 100 years, is going to be the only thing that is important. Is your soul saved? This is one that is often looked over, the next verse. And I pray you don't have very many instances of it, but the odds are that if you put a few miles on the clock, pick up a few wrinkles around the eyes or a few grey hairs, you are going to face this personally, or you're going to face it on behalf of a loved one, if that makes sense to you, through a loved one. There is going to come a day when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Whether you're on your own, whether someone is holding your hand, or you're holding somebody else's hand, you are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I have noticed over the years that much of our media has become increasingly bloody and violent. And it puts a great fear in people. And people are afraid of being thrown into a mincer, or chopped up with swords, or eaten by rats, or thrown into piranha-infested water, or I don't know, all the dirt, blown up with C4. And they're terrified. They run to watch it because it's happened to other people, but they're terrified of their own demise. And they will do anything and everything to avoid it. But yet, all that they do is hasten the day. They use up all of their time avoiding what they're running to, what everybody is running to, what everybody will have to go through, the valley of the shadow of death. And for the lost man, it's terrifying. There's a book, I think I have a copy or two, although I would have to work hard to find them, called The Last Words of Saints and Sinners. First half of the book is all about lost folks from history and the words that they said, or the cries that they made as they were slipping off into the valley of the shadow of death. And I can't remember the names of any of them, but there was a famous preacher who was a bit of a bad boy before he got himself saved and right with God, who was staying in an inn, so you're probably going back maybe 300-400 years ago. And in the next room, there was a man that was dying. And he said he hoped to never hear the likes of it again. The crying and the fear and the terror of a lost man slipping off into eternity. He had planned to slip out of the room through the window at night and not pay, but he got a life lesson in the valley of the shadow of death. There was another man who was attended to by a number of acquaintances who was an arch heretic, hated God. And on his deathbed, he lay in the bed and cried out that the devil was coming to get him. And he cried awfully. He said, "I can feel the devil putting chains around my ankles. I can feel the devil dragging me down to hell." And with that, he was gone. And he terrified the people that listened to him. One of the queens of England said, "I would give my whole kingdom for 10 minutes more in this world." I think Voltaire or somebody like him said, "I take a fearful leap into the dark." It's not something we look forward to or we pursue as Christians, but it is coming. If you're saved, you have made provision for that. Because Jesus will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will never cast you out. Even as you walk through the valley of the shadow of death yourself, or holding somebody else's hand as they do, Jesus will never leave you. And even while your heart breaks and the tears are tripping you, and your throat is sore from crying, the Bible says Jesus himself will comfort you. And as you say goodbye to a loved one that is saved, you know it's only so long until we meet again. It is parting for a little while. That is the great promise and the blessing of knowing Christ as your Savior. But for the lost soul, it's goodbye forever. There will be no fairy tale endings. It's not like Does anyone remember that old film Ghost with Patrick Swayze in it? And was it Demi Moore? I can't recall. That's not the way it works. People have been fooled into thinking that everything will work out for the best, but the Bible says it only will whenever you trust Christ as your Savior and listen to Him. God says you do not have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid because God will always be with you. Here's one of the things, and this is an odd thing. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You're thinking, that sounds a bit odd. How does the chastening of the Lord or the support of the Lord, how does that comfort you? It's very simple. When you're there, when you are standing on the brink of eternity, again, yourself, or with somebody else, the only thing that comforts a soul is knowing that you walked with God and that you have Him to lean on. That is the only thing that comforts you. There's only two or three times in my life that I have felt that ill. One was about 2.5 years ago, and 10, 15, 20 years ago, I had a couple of really, really bad flus. You ever have one where even your eyes are sore whenever you move them? I had a couple of those, and I thought, God, is this it? Am I glad I'm in church? Am I glad I knocked those doors? And Lord, I am glad I read those verses of Scripture in the Bible. Because the TV programs didn't help me at all. That didn't cheer me up. And the money in the bank account didn't comfort me. And my friends didn't comfort me. It was God. It was everything that God had taught me and that I had done for Him that comforted me. And it's a thing you don't understand. You have to take my word for it, but you will not understand until you are there. And that is why God puts such great importance and great emphasis on trusting Him as Savior and doing what He says. It is so important. It will keep your head screwed on when everybody else is losing theirs. It will keep your eyes fixed on Christ when the lost man, all that he sees is the darkened abyss stretching out forever in front of him. Makes a difference. It says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. This is the miracle time. Remember we mentioned this morning about Peter walking on water. God doing miraculous things. Even in the presence of believers, God can make a place for you in this world. By the way, this world's not our home. This is just a place where we keep the stuff we need to live here. This is not our final resting place. We're just passing through. We're strangers in a strange land. We're ambassadors for the King of Kings. But God said, I am going to prepare a table for you, make a place where you can rest, where you can sup, where you can relax even. Well, we'll call it relax. Where you can wear your t-shirt and boxer shorts and because you're in your own house and you don't have to dress up for anybody. And you know what? I will even make you feel, what's the word I am looking for? Loved and comfortable when you're surrounded by those that hate you. Now, here tonight, we're not surrounded by those that hate us. But whenever you go out into the world, you will be. And if you stood up in the middle of Tesco's or a car park and you started saying the things that I have said to you tonight, you would irk the life out of many people. You would find out who your friends really are. And I want to say I found quite a few people that were prepared to listen today up in the Crescent Link. They drove past very slowly, windows down, got a couple of thumbs up, a couple of single beeps. That's a good beep. It's the, that's the bad beep, but the wee beep, that's a you keep on going beep. I have a few of those. But I had one or two that were brave enough to tear up the dual carriageway at 40 or 50 miles an hour, beat them as they went past so that I couldn't see who they were. Like I could do anything about it. God can prepare a place for you in the presence of your enemies. God can give you the peace that passeth all understanding wherever you are able to lay your head down and spend time talking to him. God can do miracles. He is in the miracle business. The fact that I am here tonight, there are multiple miracles, literal times when God has reached into this world and changed things for me. I used to joke that he destroyed Desmond's and put 3,500 people out of work just so he could get one shiftless preacher on the road. And there you go. He didn't do that. At least I hope he didn't do that. It's a great little verse of scripture. It's one of the parables that Jesus told. You ever heard of the mustard seed? And the parable goes that we're supposed to be like mustard seeds. We're different to the other tree seeds, different to the acorn, different to the sycamore, the wee helicopter seed. We're different. We're tiny. We start really, really small. Whilst all the other trees are big and their purpose in life seems to be to produce seeds and let the birds make nests in them, and just say those are the purposes of trees. Mustard seed starts really, really small. However, it grows slightly differently, but when it reaches its maturity, what does it do? It produces seeds, and the birds of the air have their nests. It's a different life, but it's still a full and a satisfying and a more complete life, because you are able to tend to that spiritual side of our natures that the rest of the world is working so hard to deny. God can do that for you. Not only that, it says, "Thou anointest my head with oil." Have you ever heard of that saying before? It's not something we see much of or hear much of now. But back in the Old Testament, does anyone recall to mind who got anointed by oil? Pardon?
Pardon?
The high priest, but also the kings. The high priest of the children of Israel was anointed with oil. Remember, it talked about it running down over his face. But do you remember Samuel went to anoint young David as the future king of Israel with oil? God can do that for you so that other people will see you rise up and overcome and do better in their sight. And I've never come across a Christian that loves the Lord that ever had to do without. Says my cup runneth over. Whether it's your purpose in your heart or mind or things that you need, God will supply your needs. And sometimes even your wants too. He will do that for you whenever you keep company with him. The verse number 6 tends to have a very secular meaning in the very worldly churches that are out there. Many folks take that to mean that you will have a successful and a prosperous life and you will be very, very popular. That is not what it means. It means, what does it say? They shall follow you. That means in your wake. As you serve God and make him your most important thing, if you tend to the things of God, God will tend to your things. God will bless you. God will provide for you as you go out and do the work of God's minister. Even where you are, good things will follow you. They're not out there in front of you. It's not like the game of Pac-Man where you're rushing to eat all the wee dots and then you get a big yellow power pill and you can turn back and get the ghosts. They'll follow you as you serve God. And I have, just as a personal example, it has been my honor and my duty to help people over the years. Sometimes I'm surprised at the things that people say and do, especially whenever they're nice to me. But goodness and mercy, the same goodness that you sow and the same mercy that you show, you will reap the rewards of and will be shown back to you again. I think there's a little scripture that says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, but he that soweth plentifully shall reap plentifully. And it says your whole life that'll work for. That's not just for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, but the time that you spend in God's service will be rewarded in this world. And the last one is your assurance of salvation. This is David. David was the apple of God's eye. He was a blessed king who was miraculously saved many times from his enemies, from even his king, who tried to kill him a couple of times with javelins. Even whilst he was playing to soothe tormented brow, David had a lot of trouble. Whenever he became king, he committed adultery and murder. And the rest of the kingdom of Israel paid for that for generations afterwards. But this is David saying, even there, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is Old Testament assurance of salvation. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's the promise of God to whosoever will. There is, I'm sure there's a few other things in there that you could maybe draw attention to. And if you've seen them as we've looked through, well, my job's done. But there is a powerful amount for the Christian life just in Psalm 23. It's not just for difficult times, it's not just for funerals, it's not just for sick beds. It's for every day of your life. There are promises in there that the world can't give or deliver on, that only God can. And you and I need to take God at his word and be faithful when he calls. And those promises are yours. Thank you for your good time. We'll make up for this evening. I think this morning went on a little bit. But we're stopping our preaching there. Thank you for your attention. God bless you. I think we've one hymn left. If I could just find it here, we'll sing it. Hymn number 245. 245 is the old account of seven. Let's stand as we sing. 245.
Sin shall unforgive.
the old account was settled long ago. When in the happy home, my Savior's home above, I'll sing redemption's story and praise Him for His love. I'll not forget that book with pages white as snow, because I came and settled, and settled long ago, long ago, long ago. Yes, the old account was settled long ago, and the record's clear today, for He washed my sins away. When the old account was settled long ago, sinner, trust the Lord, be cleansed of all your sin, for thus He hath provided for you to enter in. And then if you should live 100 years below, up there you'll not regret it, you settled long ago.
Safe travels home. See you at the next appointed time. Let's close our eyes and we'll be dismissed with a prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, again for the time around your word. I pray, Lord, you work in each one of our hearts and minds, guiding us and directing us, Lord. And Father, I pray the good sense for us to do what you say. I love you and praise you. I pray to be with Ling, Frank, wherever he is, Dr. Shannon, Christine, Marianne, William, Reggie, for Pat and Steve too, Father. Please help these dear souls for all of our private prayer requests, Lord. You know our needs. And please help Monica to get out of her sick bed. Love you and thank you. Pray for our country, for Israel, for all the countries around the world, for world leaders to be constrained at every turn to do the right thing. Lord, we know that your coming is closer now than it ever has been. I pray you, please, that you would, Lord, that you would come quick. We love you and thank you, and we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a little bit.